Numbers chapter 5. Speak to the children of Israel and tell them, if any man's wife goes astray and is unfaithful to him, and a man lies with her carnally, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband, and she is defiled, but there's no witness against her, the spirit of jealousy comes on the husband, and he's jealous of his wife, and she's defiled, or if the spirit of jealousy comes on him, and he's jealous, and she isn't defiled. Then the man shall bring his wife to the priest, and shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall put no oil nor frankincense on it. It is a grain offering of jealousy, a grain offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to memory. Well, this is what was to happen then if a man got jealous and thought, I reckon my wife's hanging out with someone else. Yep, he could do this. And we're going to read what could have happened. But even under the law of Moses, there were various levels of response. If your wife did commit adultery against you, you could divorce her and marry someone else. Or you could have her killed for adultery. Or you could do this trial of jealousy to her, and if she's guilty, then she's going to become infertile. Or you could do what Hosea did with Gomer. He was married to this woman who kept committing adultery. You could just forgive her. So actually, the response to your wife being unfaithful was, well, various. You could respond in a number of different ways. You could kill her. You could divorce her. You could put her through this trial of jealousy, which meant she'd end up infertile and barren, unable to have children. Or you could simply forgive her. Now, I think that when we encounter bad behavior done against us, we likewise have this range of possible options. And I think that we are wise to try to go for the higher level. That is, of course, what God did to Israel. She continually committed adultery against him, like Gomer did against Hosea. But forgiveness is really the higher option. As we go through this trial of jealousy, I think you'll see that you can take a tougher line, but actually it's more difficult for you, really, in the end. Anyway, this is what they were to do. The priest shall set her before Yahweh, and shall take holy water, and he shall take dust from the floor of the tabernacle, put it into the water. And the priest shall set the woman before Yahweh, let the hair of the woman's head go loose, put the grain offering of memorial in her hands, and the priest shall have in his hand the water of bitterness that brings a curse. The priest shall make her swear, if no man has lain with you, and if you haven't gone aside to uncleanness, then be free from this water of bitterness that brings a curse. But if you have gone astray, and you have not been faithful to your husband, and you're defiled, then the priest will cause the woman to swear with the oath of cursing. And the priest shall tell the woman, may Yahweh make you a curse and an oath among your people, when Yahweh allows your thigh to fall away and your body to swell. This water that brings a curse will go into your bowels and make your body swell and your thigh fall away. In other words, you will become infertile and won't be able to have children. The woman will say, Amen, Amen. The priest shall write these curses in a book, and shall blot them out into the water of bitterness. He shall make the woman drink the water of bitterness that causes the curse, and the water that causes the curse will enter into her and become bitter. When he has made her drink the water, then it shall happen, if she is defiled and has committed a trespass against her husband, that the water that causes the curse will enter into her and become bitter. And she would become infertile, and the woman will be a curse among her people. If the woman isn't defiled, but is clean, then she shall be free, and she shall, or must, conceive seed. Well, you may think that's a bit unfair on the woman. But when you think it through, in the context of their society, which was very, very much based around having children, you know, if you had a wife who was unfaithful and she got pregnant by somebody else, or she'd gone off with somebody else, but she's still married to you, and then you publicly humiliate her in this way and she ends up infertile, she can't have children, well, if you're going down this path, you have still got, as the husband, to provide for her. And you're providing for a woman who can't produce you any children, which in their terms was just awful, just not worth it. Plus, you have made yourself the laughingstock of everybody. That guy over there, his wife was unfaithful to him, and everybody's going to know about it. Whereas if the woman was innocent, then it says that she must conceive seed. So what that means then is that the innocent woman, she had to resume relationships with her husband. And you can imagine how it would be, because it's such a shame-based culture in the Middle East. She would have been mad with him that you shamed me. And they have to stay together, and the command says they must have children together. Well, that's not going to be a happy marriage, is it? And the man is always going to know that his wife has kind of got the edge over him. You shamed me publicly. That's what you did, and you showed yourself in the eyes of everybody to be a jealous fool. So actually, to use this was not a great idea, it seems to me. The far higher level was to forgive. And that's the same in all our dealings with people, that the higher level is to forgive rather than to judge.